I want to ask the audience here your familiarity with cell and gene therapy. If we can just kind of level set, do you know what it is? Maybe heard about it? All right, about a quarter of you, maybe. Fantastic. Well, this is, I personally think, the coolest space to be working in. It's not just oncology. A lot of our recent therapeutics that have hit the market have been cancer-focused. It offers an opportunity to treat patients that doesn't involve burning, poisoning, or cutting people as the primary forms of treatment. When you think about radiotherapy, chemotherapy, surgery, it seems barbaric when you begin to learn and understand about what are the opportunities that are coming. I'm excited for you to meet these panelists. Up here we have industry experience, seasoned industry experience and expertise that's helping this new therapeutic space. Like Devendra said earlier, while it's nascent and growing, there's a lot of smart people working on this. So when we think about cell and gene therapy, a common one is called CAR T. It's where your T cells, your immune cells that fight off things in the body, are re-engineered or modified to be able to identify things that it can't see today. You have gene therapy that actually modifies the genetic instructions in our cells in a way that safely targets specific conditions. And so we really have this, we're on the precipice of this amazing type of therapeutic that gives life, really. It, you know, in oncology, many of the treatments, if you survive the treatment, if the cancer doesn't kill you, oftentimes the treatment might at a later date. And I know many of us have been affected by cancer. Most of us, I would believe, have been affected by cancer. So this panel today, we're gonna talk through a couple of things. I'll give our panelists an opportunity to introduce themselves. We're going to talk through contract services. As a beginning industry, there's a lot of different strategies, so we'll talk through that. I know that's a current topic for companies young and old, digital systems, and then ways to accelerate these trials and bringing these incredible therapies to market. So before we get too far, I'll start with Heather, if you introduce yourself.
Sure. So. Good morning, Heather Erickson. I'm a veteran of the industry, been in the life sciences for the last two decades as a supply chain, business strategy and operations executive. Most recently was with Sangamo Therapeutics for 7.5 years. Sangamo is a gene editing, gene therapy, and autologous and allogeneic cell therapy company, and my responsibilities there were global supply chain and business operations within tech ops. Prior to that, I ran a national nonprofit education and research foundation, and before that, a state trade association focused on the industry.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lisa Taylor Ash, and I'm currently the general counsel at Shape Therapeutics, which is an RNA editing company. Previously, I was the chief compliance officer at Juno Therapeutics, which is a CAR T-cell company. And before that, I had small molecule experience at Pharmacyclics and Exelixis launching small molecules. And I'm honored to be here with supply chain professionals because my dad is a professor of supply chain management. So it's fun to get to talk about these issues in addition to the legal and compliance implications.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christophe Suchet. Can you hear me well? Alternatively, I speak French. I'm the head of IT at Cargo Therapeutics. It's a CAR T company. I led IT at various companies, Pharmacyclics, Kite, which was a pioneer in CAR T, in Steel Bio, spent 10 years at Genentech, and a fascinating industry to be part of.
And I won't go through the whole introduction again, but again, Barbara Fitch. I work at Allogene as the head of supply chain. And Allogene is an allogeneic CAR T therapy, so we're taking cells from healthy donors and re-engineering those cells to fight cancer and autoimmune disease.
Thanks, everybody. And the other thing that I'm really excited about our panel today is the cross-functional view. Lisa and I were just chatting in the back about, you know, the mission of BSMA and non-competitive collaboration, and she started asking me questions about statements and things, and I'm Devendra, we got to talk about later, but I'm excited for this conversation and just the different perspectives that we have here today. There have been many firsts recently. We talked about this being a nascent industry or therapeutic area. The first commercial CAR T approval was in 2017. mRNA vaccine with COVID saved millions. I think the scariest statistic that I saw from the pandemic was 500,000 children in the United States lost one or more of their parents. And to think about how quickly the mRNA vaccine was produced and tested and launched is incredible. And so the opportunity that we have with these types of therapies to head off death is incredible. So the first solid tumor therapy was approved just last month. And so I want to ask the panel, what excites you most about this cell and gene space and the discoveries and the therapies that are coming? Start with you, Barbara.
I think probably for the reason that hopefully most of us are in this room is the patients, and that this is really, I think, the first time we're looking at an entire sector that has a chance to functionally cure people. This isn't just palliative, this isn't Band-Aid. In many cases, you've got patients now that are looking at years after being treated, having no indication that they were ever ill. And I think that's really different, and it's really compelling, and I think it's what keeps a lot of us going to work every day, and certainly changes company culture in a pretty meaningful way. And I think a lot of companies are really recognizing just how powerful patients are for motivating, but also keeping us focused on what winning really looks like. And so I think, you know, we're entering a new space for healthcare, and it's a space of cure, not just a space of iteratively better.
Yeah, definitely echo that excitement for patients. I think what I'm excited about is just seeing that the promise is becoming real. We've known that cell and gene therapy was theoretically possible for, you know, the last 20, 30 years from the first work out of NIH and different academic institutions, but now we have multiple cell therapies approved. We're seeing those cell therapy indications expand from just oncology to things like autoimmune diseases, treating type 1 diabetes, things like that that are really exciting. And on the gene therapy front, we really are opening up the possibility to cure any disease. It's not just going to be oncology, it's any disease, loss of function, mutation that you want to correct, we're really getting to the point where that might be possible. And I think that's just going to create a whole revolution in how we think about healthcare and health and longevity. And it's just really exciting.
I think similar, what's exciting is to be part of the future of medicine and present. I think when you think about it, many people say that in our industry, Amgen, Genentech created biotech 40 plus years ago. It's a bit what's happening now with cell and gene therapy, Juno, Kite, Allogene. So hopefully we'll have the same journey, impact on patients. What's also very exciting is how to serve the patient. And one thing that excites me is the future of manufacturing, because this is one of the complexities that we have in our space. And when I read papers about this bedside manufacturing, yesterday, I think it's a company, Cellares. They call it Cell Shuttle, fully integrated process development manufacturing. Lonza has something called Cocoon. So it's really about getting the patient material, unless you're allogenic, and then manufacturing it in this closed manufacturing space, delivering the therapy and infusing the patient. That's almost sci-fi to me.
Yeah, I agree with all the comments that have been made, and I think we are really at a point in time where we are on the beginning of a revolution to really transform healthcare for patients to get better outcomes and better experiences. For me, I'm really excited about the allogeneic space, and that, you know, one single batch of manufacturing can support supply for 100 patients. So it's more cost effective, it's providing greater accessibility to patients, and providing, you know, a reliable off-the-shelf source of supply to those in need. So I think that's really transformative.
And I think we'll continue to see innovation in the space. We alluded to a little bit with the what's called in vivo. So materials introduced to the body, and the manufacturing happens in the body as opposed to outside the body as a new therapy being introduced. So there's just no shortage of ways to deliver the therapy. But as we talked about, this is a relatively new therapeutic area. As companies are standing up and getting ready to go through trials and get ready for commercialization, there's always the questions around contracted services, whether it's research, trials, manufacturing, how you stand up enterprise services. Would love to hear this team's perspective around how do you think about outsourcing? What do you outsource? What do you keep? And how does that affect the ability to deliver?
So I might start with the generally, you need to know what you're good at. And I think early on, nobody was good at anything, and everybody was trying to do everything. And as a result, you had a lot of capital that was probably not spent very efficiently. And early on, I think investors rewarded people trying to bring everything in-house. To be fair, when you go to a CDMO and they tell you it's an 18-month queue before they'll even give you a slot, you have a lot of investor pressure to move a little bit faster. But I think, you know, that's swung almost 180 degrees now to recognizing that unless you've got a very high volume of activity, and you're probably only going to get that with a commercial autologous approved product, you're going to have a lot of excess capacity. And that's a very difficult operational situation to find yourself in, and a very difficult conversation to have with your CFO. So I think, you know, the real conversation needs to be around kind of what is your business and what is your business model and real demand there. And there's, you know, we're now at a point where there's probably maybe half a dozen globally CDMOs that can professionally execute on some of these programs. I don't think that was the case 5 years ago. And there's definitely a lot more than that out there that have been built but are probably not professionally staffed at this point. And so I think it's just going to require a little bit of kind of leveling out after what was kind of a mad dash to build something, anything as fast as possible. But, you know, it's always a knowing what is your business, and there's a lot of pieces that go into these products. And not all of them are catalog items. So being really clear about sort of what are you going to be doing and where do you just need to get a partner to bring sort of their special sauce to the mix.
Thanks, Pablo.
Go for it. I'm skipped.
So again, I'm wearing the IT hat here, working very closely with supply chain. I think what's missing in the digital roadmap is, and there's probably 80% of your roadmap that is very common, right? You need the same systems. But what's very specific in our industry is the FDA mandates, and makes sense, that we establish the identity of the patient. It's called COI, and we track across the stakeholder and the value chain, the custody event, the chain of custody event. So you hear sometimes about COI, COC. This is cross stakeholders and brings a lot of complexity because in the old model of biotech pharma, you're pretty much within your four walls, right? In this case, you start with the hospital, get into a CDMO, whatever, goes back to the hospital, you have third-party logistics, in-house manufacturing potentially, very cross-functional. So I think in terms of outsourcing is we desperately need a true software as a service offering in the space of cell orchestration. I actually worked 2 years for one company that didn't make it. It was called Vinity. So there's not a clear winner yet in that space for that portal. And that would be great, like, you know, nowadays if you're in quality, and I'm not advertising for them, but you know, if you need a quality docs or QMS, you think Veeva quite often, right? Does the job, easy to implement, quite expensive on the licensing, but that's a true software as a service. We don't have that yet in the cell orchestration portal. So there's a deep need for this. The other thing I think that could mature is all of our startups, we use CROs for our first clinical trial, second trial. What if the CRO could bring to us what they brought to EDC and CTMS, right? Electronic data captures, CTMS. When you're a startup, you don't implement an EDC or CTMS software. You just use the CRO solution, and then you bring the data set later on. So how can we have the CRO or the CDMO helping us bringing that outsourced software capability so that we can deploy funding, which has been very scarce in the last 2 years for biotech, to manufacturing and enrolling patients. We just don't have the money to build software in a startup.
And I'd like to build on that. I think that, you know, from a manufacturing perspective, we have a mix of both internal and external capabilities. But I think our partnerships with our logistics and transportation service providers is very critical. Every patient, you know, is at the end of one of those shipments. And so we also have very time-sensitive shipments, ultra-cold chain shipments. And so those are high-value shipments, and we need to get it right every single time. And so I think having those partnerships with people who have the capabilities to deliver reliably, and then also to the point of track and trace, you know, we don't have great solutions today that are standard for the allogeneic space. And so I think that's something as an industry we can help influence of what type of capabilities that we need to track the journey of the product from the time it's released until it gets to the patient and all the key milestones in between. A lot of that work is cumbersome and not scalable if we think about a commercial setting. And so thinking that through together collectively with this team of how we can help influence that. And like you said, as you know, trials are being administered, how do we then not have each trial having to deal with multiple customized systems, but really have a platform that would increase efficiency and I think overall adoption of cell and gene therapies?
And I would just add that I think for those partners that actually work to really understand the constraints and what's different about the space and what's the same and provide channels for increased efficiency to kind of help some of these smaller companies that are probably never going to have the scale to develop their entirely sort of independent in-house solutions for a lot of these capabilities to really become the partner that can pull a lot of the sector forward. Because the biggest frustration